So Hare Krishna, I want to greet all of you affectionately. Slowly, 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 devotees are arriving from all over the place. I must say I'm very excited to give this lecture. It's part of a two lecture series. I intend to try to bring the challenges and the success of being a disciple inside this lecture. As always, when I try to speak, it is a little subtle. Subtle means hints are given which you have to follow to come to your conclusions. Yes, what else before I start? Is there anything else that needs to be said? No, it's nice to see all of you. Hare Krishna. Something in the end I need to say. Can someone just give me a pen, please? A normal pen, which... Here is a pen coming. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Thank you so much. How are you? Have you rested okay? Usually the first night has its challenges. I do always push-ups until I'm dead, and then I can sleep. Hare Krishna. Good. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ramunatida Anacha
Ramunatida
Yamunatira Vanachari
Yamunatira Vanachari
Veda Jamadhamma Punya Vihari Jaya 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Possible, please. Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Please chant one more time all together now.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
One more time, please, everybody chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sita Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Nitai, Jaya Nitai, Jaya Nitai, Jaya Nitai,
Jaya
Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram, Jaya Nityananda
Ram,
Jaya Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram. Gaura Premanandi. Hari 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 Bo Hari Krishna. Before we start with this lecture, thank you so much. You're chanting so like little angels, not little angels, big angels. Some of you two tons heavy angels, but very nice, thank you. I wanted to give you a little background before I start with this presentation. As I announced earlier, this is the first part of a two-part series describing the ideal relationship between guru, disciple, and everything in between also. In the scriptures, you often find descriptions of persons who are living their ordinary lives, and then they meet a saint, and a new perspective opens for them, a new dimension. Rupa Goswami describes the situation. I was happily engaged in my household activities when the saint passed by my door. His limbs were trembling with ecstasy, and he was chanting, "O Krishna!" And as I saw him, my peace was disturbed. I decided to also follow this his example. You often find, saints coming in the Bhagavatam. Narada Muni comes to Dhruva, to Prahlad, with a message, and he sends these personalities on their way. You find Shukadev Goswami coming to the houses of ordinary people, totally like you and me, and staying for just the time which it takes for the Grihastha to milk the cow and then offer him some milk, and then moving on. I believe I met such a saint. I was happily engaged, I was fully engaged, intensely engaged in my life. And then I did hear that Srila Prabhupada would come to London, and I always wanted to go to London for London related activities, came. And after, I remember I met Srila Prabhupada, and all of a sudden I saw very clearly a dimension in my life of which I was, I guess, afraid to make the steps. I remember my friends from Germany found me in London, and they said, "The school has started and everyone is asking where you are." And I said, I will come back one more time, and you will never forget this time, but give me some time. I need to prepare my last appearance in the school. I came back with the whole Hamburg temple, and we created a revolution, and many have not forgotten and have taken in some ways to either this spiritual path or another spiritual path, but they have changed. So there is a lot of discussions about saints, and when their vision comes in contact with our thoughts, it's a very interesting meeting. You could call it is a gentle disruption. So we will hear about this. We will hear about someone who could not listen to the saint at the very first meeting, but later was willing. And we hear about someone who just could not, who was not willing to wake up. So in between these two, you will find yourself. You will either be the person who is ready to fully let go of material life and take to a surrendered spiritual life, or you are just against it. No. It's a song from the 1920s, So, and everything in between. You will see where you are in between. So, this is on the first part. I don't know if I can bring this out all in the first part. It's in the first and the second part. Are you willing to listen?
Yes.
Are you awake?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Daiva. Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Daiva.
Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Daiva.
Adharma Shilasya Sudu Kitasya. Shilasya Sudu Kitasya. Anugrahayeha Charanti Nunam.
Anugrahayeha Charanti Nunam.
Bhutani Bhavyani Janadanasya.
Bhutani Bhavyani Janadanasya.
Janasya Krishnat Vimukasya Daiva.
Janasya Krishnat Vimukasya Daiva.
Adharma Shilasya Sudukitasya.
Adharma Shilasya Sudukitasya.
Anugrahayeha Charanti Nunam.
Anugrahayeha Charanti Nunam.
Bhutani Bhavyani Janadanasya.
Bhutani Bhavyani Janadanasya.
Yes, please, someone else.
Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Daiva.
Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Daiva.
Thank you. And Mataji, please, Vaishnavi. Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Daivat. Adharma Shilasya Sudukitasya. Anugrahe Acharanti Nunam. Bhutani Bhavyani Janadanasya. Thank you. I will go directly to the translation for time reasons. So this describes a meeting between Vidura and the saintly Maitreya Rishi. And Vidura has observed Maitreya Rishi. Maitreya is walking through Bharatvarsha, and he is really looking for someone who's willing to listen to the beautiful narration of Krishna, the Bhagavatam. So this is how Vidura addresses Maitreya. Oh my Lord, he says, great philanthropic souls. What is a philanthropic soul? Is it someone who has compassion or empathy for the suffering of others? So, oh my Lord, great philanthropic souls travel on the earth on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to show compassion to the fallen souls who are averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord. Let us stop for a moment. So they are great souls. They are different from ordinary people. They are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they move on this earth, not for touristic reasons or business reasons or so on, but they have another mission. Their mission is to show compassion to people who don't like it, who don't want to have anything to do with this, to the fallen souls who are averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord. These compassionate souls are in a way challenging these souls who want to move away from Krishna and say, no, turn around. Mentality adjustment is required. Turn around and move to Krishna. No, very, very nice text. So here's the purport for you. To be obedient to the wishes of the Supreme Lord is the natural position of every living entity. But only due to past misdeeds, a living being becomes averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord and suffers all the miseries of material existence. So it's natural to serve Krishna, but due to some past thing, we are against it and suffer. No one has anything to do but render devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Wow, this is a statement. No one has anything to do but render devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. What's with our whole culture? You know, music, art, work, politics. No one has anything to do but render devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Can you already sense the conflict here which comes up? Therefore, any activity other than transcendental loving service to the Lord is more or less a rebellious action against the supreme will. All fruitive activities, these are activities aimed at sense gratification, no? All empirical philosophy and even mysticism, oh, Hildegard from Bingen, Mechthild von Magdeburg, Julia of Norwich, and Meister Eckhart, all mysticism and everything are more or less against the sense of subordination to the Lord. Well, these people whom you heard about, they were very much for surrender, but they are mystic yogis who don't like to surrender to Krishna. And any living entity engaged in such rebellious activity is more or less condemned by the laws of material nature, which work under the subordination of the Lord. Now we come to Prabhupada has prepared us. Now in the purport, now he comes to the point of the souls who travel. Great unalloyed devotees of the Lord are compassionate towards the fallen, and therefore they travel all over the world with the mission of bringing souls back to Godhead, back to home. Such pure devotees of the Lord carry the message of Godhead in order to deliver the fallen souls, and therefore the common man who is bewildered by the influence of the external energy of the Lord should avail himself of their association. He should make use of their association. So let's sing the verse again. Janasya Krishna Dvimukasya Daivad Adharma Shilasya Sudukitasya Anugrahaye Adhuranti Nunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janadarasya. Yes. I've written a few examples of great souls coming to other souls and waking them up. In the past, in the last few months, when I lectured, I gave sometimes disciple meetings here and there, and so on. And I gave an analogy for these great souls and what they do. The analogy is that of a loving mother who enters in the morning the sleeping room of her child. It's early in the morning, the child fully asleep. And then the mother comes into this room and lovingly makes him get up. He may touch the cheeks, she may kiss the head. When the child doesn't react, she may take some Ganga water and sprinkle it and so on, and make him get up from bed. So the mother comes and interrupts the sweet dreams of the little child. And although the child may be unwilling, the mother will come and send him to school to learn. I was fortunate. I had this scenario every day. I lived on an island, a very, very idyllic island in the Baltic Sea. And we had a beautiful, light-filled, huge apartment where I could play all day and listen to music. And so it was really an ideal childhood with a few storms in between. But I do remember that I did not like to get up in the morning. No. And I was exhausted, and I had in the morning, you know, that's the rapid eye movement phase. It's where you have most of your dreams. So I had my dreams there, and I was enjoying the dreams. They were very, very colorful dreams. I have a strong imagination still from that time. It's very strong. I can see many things inside of me. So then my mother came. "Wake up." "No one is here," I said. No, you are here. "Wake up." No, mother, I'm just 2.5 minutes, please. I'm just in the midst of a dream." "Oh, no, now it's gone." You know? And I would never get up without my mother. I even when I was awake, I stayed in the bed because I enjoyed the loving mother coming, but sometimes I did not enjoy it. I thought, how can someone be so insensitive as to wake in the best of dreams, you know? And my mother said, "Yeah, it's time to get ready for your school." So this is the situation of a guru. A proper guru has to enter our dreams, and he wakes us up. And sometimes we like it, but most of the time we think, "Der stört ihr jetzt voll." This is a German way to say this is an unwanted disturbance, really. Yes. So, why this perspective? So we will hear now a beautiful and enchanting story. Some of you have heard it before, but I will try to tell it a little different, and I will try to help you to see a point that you might not have considered so deeply in your own guru-disciple relationship. A case study. Maharaj Chitraketu. he was the ruler of the entire planet. During his reign, reign means rule, the earth provided all the necessities of life. You know, the seasons came in time. There was an ample harvest of grains. The mango trees gave their mangoes. There was gold mines. And in the bottom of the ocean, there were jewels. It was really a paradise on earth. However, he was miserable, because although all of his desires were fulfilled, one desire kept pressing him: you have no son. There was nothing wrong with him biologically. I mean, he was a healthy young man. He was strong. He ate the best food. There was nothing wrong, but he just couldn't have a child. And it's not that he did not try. He married one wife, couldn't have a child. Then he thought, well, it's the wife, you know. So let me marry a second time. That's perfectly permissible. But again, no child. And he tried. They tried. They wanted. He married a third wife, a fourth wife, a fifth wife, the same thing. He was not meant to have a child, but he did not accept that. He was like some of us who are pushing in one direction, but there is only misery in that direction. But we can't keep on trying. The scriptures say, I still think, how is it possible that the scriptures say he married 10 million wives? He was that stubborn. 10 million, but these are different times, I can only say, you know. 10. Once, a great saint who traveled the universe, Angira Rishi, came by. And on first glance, when he's entered the throne, the palace, where the Thronsaal, we say in German, the assembly hall where the throne was, on the first sight he saw what is going on with Maharaj Chittaketu. But to be polite, he said, "How is your kingdom well?" "Yes, it's well. Are your citizens happy?" "Yes, I do think they are happy and satisfied." "But why are you so miserable?" "Why I'm miserable? I have no son. I don't know what to do. I need a son. Because when I leave this world, there must be a successor to the throne. And also there must be someone who does my funeral rites, you know, so that I will have a good next birth or no birth at all, you know." So Angira could see he's not meant to have a child. But he also could see that at this moment, this is the wrong thing to say. I have been very much in this situation. You may have heard there is a fertility problem which is increasing, I think, due to the stressful lifestyles. And many couples, also devotees, are barren, you know, they can't have a child, and they then take, of course, help of modern medicine, and sometimes it works, but often it doesn't work. Then they get a mother, you can rent one in China, you know, she gets the seeds of the men and then she carries a child, and when the child is born, the child is sent to the parents without children. You can also buy a child on the black market. Gaur Krishna has addresses. joking. This is the last person who would have such. But when you say, listen, you try everything, it's not meant, don't you see from the result, then no one likes you. This is sometimes the wrong thing to say. Perhaps you know from your own life, sometimes you may have to make some more experiences because you can fully surrender. Have you seen that? That you say, yes, I know, but I can't do it just now, you know, later, when I'm a little older, perhaps, and have more experiences. So okay, this is not about child getting children. It's something more. It's about trying something that is not meant for us and suffering as a result. So Angira Rishi understood. I can't tell him the truth at this moment. So, but I know something to do, and this is, I mean, if you find a person who can do this yagya, this is the easiest way. I make a sacrifice, and at the end of the sacrifice, the prasad which is coming is given to the wife, and then her name was, the first wife was Krita Duty. Krita Duty, I think it just means she did her duty, you know, but I'm not so 100% sure here with the Sanskrit, but she's the first wife. And before Angira Muni left, he said, you will get a child, but he will be a harsha shoka child. He will give you great happiness, but also great misery. There are many families where there are children who give great happiness, but it's a mixed happiness. So Chitta Ketu thought, it's no problem. We can deal with the unruly behavior of the child. Most probably, Angira says, my son will be the only child because he came through this extraordinary yagya, and he might be a little bit proud to be the only child, and there will be he will be proud that he gets all the wealth in my empire, and then he will argue with me on every little point. This is, I think, what he meant. He didn't at that time, because he was still so much, in your modern language, how you speak, in his own movie, you know, in his own narration, his own story, his own desire, that he could not understand the subtle hint of Angira Rishi. So he got a child, there was a great jubilation. Everyone was absolutely happy for some time. The problem was that Chitra Ketu started to neglect his other wives. He only wanted to be with his one wife. What was her name again? Krita Duty, because it was her who has given him his most desired child, you know. It was a son, a very beautiful son. And he gave special affection to Krita Duty. Now, when the other queens, all beautiful queens from good neighborhoods or good birth saw this, they became envious. And therefore they lost their intelligence. They became hard-hearted and intolerant of the because of this neglect, and they finally administered a very strong poison to the boy, who died immediately. Let's stop here a little bit. Do you sometimes feel envy in your heart? I think every one of us is suffering from this. The effect of envy in the Bhagavatam are three things. Loss of intelligence, that goes first when you are envious. This person has more than me, more affection, more whatever. You become hard-hearted, you know, against that person, and also against God, because you can't see that he has given everything to the other person. And then you might, if you not check yourself, take to a destructive action, like these poor queens, you know, who administered or gave poison to the son. When Chitaketu heard of the son's death, he was so affected by suffering that he became practically blind. Yes, this shows you how diseases often have their causes in suffering in the heart. Anxiety is a big thing that causes diseases. He almost became blind. And the Bhagavatam says, the fire of his lamentation increased like a blazing fire. You know, when the fire gets more and more food, it burns so very strongly. So Chitaketu couldn't get out of this loop, diese Gedankenschleife. Oh, why me? Why? We had a son. Whoa. And cried. When he was going to the room of where the dead boy was lying, he was repeatedly slipping and falling on the ground. And when he finally reached his boy, he fell unconscious with his head on the feet of the dead boy and fainted. Finally, when he woke up, he was still so much under shock that he could not even say a word. If you would ask him, what's your name? No answer would be coming. This was what happened to Chitaketu, lamentation. Listen what happened to his wife. She began to curse God. Krita Jyoti would just say, what a foolish creator. Why couldn't you think of the benefit of my son? Isn't it natural that fathers of children are the first to die? The child who is younger is dying after the father. If it's vice versa, if it's all around, if the child dies first and the father lives, this is an anomaly. Yeah, this word. You know, it's völlig pervers. You know, this is how could you, if there is a God, how could you make this terrible mistake? And she became an atheist. My dear devotees, this is not so far-fetched away. I have been in contact with a couple in America where they had a child, and then the child died. I do not know if it was an accident or what was the cause, but the son died, and the mother of the son was so affected that she said, "You are cruel," and turned away from Krishna. Yes? The husband told me that I could not say anything to my wife. She was always talking against Krishna. She removed the altar. She was so much affected by this misery. There's a Russian poem who says, "What is the use of God if he doesn't fulfill my prayers? What's the use?" Very bluntly, he says, what many, many Hare Krishna Hare Ramas feel, when things don't work their way, when there are disappointments on the path, when so-and-so does so such and such thing, and so on, which was not at all expected, then they turn against Krishna and return their beads. Hare Krishna, yes. This is a very important lesson of the Bhagavatam. Krita duty came to the conclusion, since you, God, have cut the bonds of affection by taking my son from me, you are inexperienced and highly unintelligent. Yes, yes, yes. So this is coming also in our relationship with our spiritual master, with God. When we feel our expectations are not met, there is a crisis. Prabhupada has written an amazing commentary to one verse from the fifth canto. The fifth canto, 18th chapter, verse 4. I'm telling it because there's some of you who like to read 5:18:4. Now I think every one of us should read, but we are all free. So here is how theoretical knowledge cannot help you in spiritual life. Vadanti Vishvam Kavayosmanashvaram Pashyanti Chadyad Mavido Vipashita, and so on. It's a prayer. O unborn one, Krishna. There are many learned scholars who are very advanced in spiritual knowledge, and I think many of devotees have heard many lectures. They are very advanced in knowledge, but when the test comes, the knowledge goes overboard. No, so this is what this verse says in a highly philosophical language. You can understand. Please hear. O unborn one, there are many learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge. They certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do the other logicians and philosophers. They even may come in trance where they realize the factual position of this world. And they even preach the truth as well. Yet even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your Maya is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. This verse says, in simple words, even people who have knowledge come into circumstances where they forget everything because of Maya. Prabhupada now speaks as a true guru. This is now disrupting a dream, what you will hear. It is very heavy. You must pay attention at least so that you can battle with the point if you wish. As soon as someone thinks, I'm this material body, aham mameti, and things in relationship with this material body are mine, he's an illusion in moha. This illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, but it sometimes can also act on liberated souls as well. So Maya is so strong, my dear devotees, that against our better knowledge she may cover even a liberated soul, but more those who are conditioned. Because of association with the modes of material nature, are you with me?
Yes.
Good. Because of association with the modes of material nature, for a very long time, even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusory energy due to inattentiveness in the transcendental position. My God, if liberated souls, my dear devotees, due to inattentiveness, they can sometimes become covered over, then you might ask, what is with me? You know, the purport continues after some time. I'm jumping over a few Sanskrit verses. Only those who surrender unto me, Krishna, can overcome the influence of the material energy. Therefore, no one should think of himself as a liberated person immune to the influence of Maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly means strongly, following regulative principles. Now, Maya can catch us very easily if we are not surrendered. So two things: we must keep these principles. Thus he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, a little inattention will create havoc. My dear devotees, I'm speaking about this because here in Goloka Dham, many years ago, I had a big crisis. I had undergone a surgery that, I will make it short, turned out to be very difficult. And I was really suffering. I could not move, I could not dance. To come from the guest house to the temple took me half an hour. I was really beaten down. I tried to keep on moving because I know the moment I stop moving, physically and intellectually, oof, this is and especially spiritually, it's a problem. So I came here, and at that time, I was treated by a very powerful doctor, and the doctors did an analysis and said, you have cancer. So I was just recuperating, and now cancer in the colon, it's something which is there in my family. My father had it, many had it in the family. And this is a cancer you can die from. So I was just trying to get my thing together. Then this news came, and I broke down. I said, my Lord, this treatment is too heavy for me. I can't do this. I went to Radha Madan Mohan and I said, I just want to say, this will break me. I have no willpower to go against it. I'm of the conviction, you know, there are many people who feel like this, that when you are heavy in your mind, when you practice mental discipline, when you have devotion and surrender and these very, very elevated feelings, your mind will heal your body. But if you are fearful, if you are afraid, if you are having a groll, sagt man in Deutsch, grudge in your heart against someone, then this will cause disease. You have to see, when you are getting older, be careful with your apotheker, your mind. You know, if you have the wrong things there, poisonous substances, the wrong thoughts, your body will 100% suffer. 100%. 100%. So, but this was my dear devotee so overwhelming at this time that I just couldn't come into my natural mindset. It was not possible for me. And I knew it was not possible. I could try everything. I would be afraid at the end of dying from cancer. This fear was had taken seat in my heart. So I went to the Lord and said, please, my dear Lord, please, please, please give me confidence, give me faith, give me strength. And Krishna helped me in another way. He helped me by, you know, I did something I do not know if I can recommend it to everyone, but I said, cancer is an unwanted guest in the body. What do you do when you want to get rid of guests? You don't give them anything to eat, especially no sweets. That's the easiest way to get rid of guests. You are laughing? This is what you do. With diseases also, fasting works very well. Especially cancer, if you just don't give any of Tiro's good sweets to them. It is very good. So I decided to fast, but I could not give up sweets, so I ate every day a spoon of honey. Good honey from nature's kitchen, and that was all for a whole. I almost made a month, and then I couldn't. I was so hungry. Then I went to this, you know, where you can investigate and you know, that you give. In the old times, they gave you something to drink to make you all radioactive, and then they put you into some machine, and then afterwards I came out, and the doctor said, see, here there was something, but it has gone back. What did you do? I said, I didn't give him anything to eat. and so on. Anything, the Lord helped me in this way. And when I did this, when I started this, I already had back my willpower, my confidence. Okay, we are going to fight now. Let's see who will win. I could understand this. My dear devotees, my point here is not about cancer and about becoming healthy in difficult times. My point is the material energy can at any moment cover us. And I was very afraid. I was very afraid. I could not understand what was Krishna's plan. I did not say anything like krita duty, but I was thinking some thoughts like this. I have seen this also in relationship to our spiritual master. We will not be able to understand some things, and we will be covered by a rebellious attitude or by anything else. You know, it could be many things. But and then we lose it. A little inattention can create havoc. So Prabhupada continues, the Lord is always prepared to excuse his devotee. And so is the spiritual master. Always prepared to excuse his devotee. But if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency, Nachgiebigkeit, and purposefully commits mistakes again and again and again, the Lord will certainly step back and punish him by letting him fall down into the clutches of the illusory energy. In other words, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedas is insufficient. It's not enough to protect one from the clutches of Maya. One must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Then one's position is secure. This is sicher. So, back to this amazing pastime in the Bhagavatam. When the test came to Krita duty, she did not do so well in passing it, but turned against the Lord. Chitraketu was just shocked and overwhelmed. He was speechless, and I think thoughtless. There was nothing going on. He was just overwhelmed. When Maya takes her heavy chains, it's very hard to see what to do. There's only one road to take, the road of surrender to Krishna. No? To say, my Lord, I am not in control here. My Lord, you please help. And we will see in the second class, not now, we will see what happened to Chitraketu so that he became ready for spiritual talk. Remember, when he was first meeting Angira Rishi, he was not ready, and therefore Angira could not help him. But after this shock, and this shows you that even these shocks can be under Krishna's control, something fundamentally changed in his entire mindset. And this is the subject matter for tomorrow. Today, we have only dealt with the first part, that we can expect that there will be times when Krishna enters our dreams and wakes us up. When the Guru comes, Krishna often sends and works through the Guru, in our lives, because the Guru we can see, the Guru we can hear, the Guru we can interact with, whereas with Krishna, it may still be a little vague for us in our relationships. Sometimes we may be all right, and we can directly understand the Lord's will, but more often than not, we are bewildered. And at that time, the servant of the Lord will speak to us. No? I think you have often seen that in your life, when you don't know what to do and you go to devotees and ask devotees, you at times have feelings that Krishna speaks through devotees or your spiritual master. No, I think we all have experiences of this. So, It is the Lord's way with his dear devotees to sometimes not give them any material benefits any longer, but to take things away. My own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, has said like this, he wanted to create stability and security for his family, and he put everything into building a little factory where he was producing Ayurvedic medicines and other medicines. And before he could ensure it, there was a fire which burnt it down, the whole thing. And he didn't get anything back from the insurance company because it was just finished, you know. He had not yet insured it. And at that time, his whole planning was destroyed in one night. And he sat down and he told about what went on in his life. He remembered a reoccurring dream, a dream which came again and again, and he remembered a verse. The verse he remembered was, Yas yaham anugrinami harishya tathanam shanai. This verse from the 11th canto, where it said, when the Lord likes you, he removes the material things that give you some sense of security, so that you are entirely dependent on him only. And it is said, this is a special mercy. Krishna's mercy is not when he gives you a palace and makes you the personal advisor of Donald Trump. That's not his mercy. I think that's the last example. Anyways, let's not get into politics here. No commentary. Or he gives you a motorcycle and a good helmet, you know, and so on. What other things are you thinking about? New upgrade telephone, you know. It can be his mercy when you can use it for your spiritual awakening. It can be. But his mercy is when you awake from a dream where you cannot win. When you awaken from a dream where no one ever enjoyed for long. That is material consciousness. Yes, it's the opposite. That is special mercy, and Krishna doesn't give it immediately. Like Angira Muni, when he came, the Lord and Angira Muni, they understood he first needs to see himself. Harsha Shoka. No? Then he can wake up. So this is not given to anyone. So no one who has material plans needs to run away from Krishna consciousness. You might be given everything you want. Very often it happens. Very often it happens. Krishna. But more often in spiritual life, our dreams are disrupted, like in this mother example. Isn't it a beautiful example of the mother lovingly, not to disturb the poor child, comes in and, my little boy, oh, no, it's all right. Shower is very warm today. You just get up. School is also there. You have to go to learn something. It will be good for your future. I still remember. My mother was always very kind to me. She sometimes, okay, I come in 1 minute. So that has happened now with Chita Kato. It has not happened to Chita Kato. Chita Kato is still suffering the karmic life here. But something beautiful will happen. Something hope-giving will happen. But that's tomorrow, not now. Good. Hare Krishna. I have reached my end. I want to see if there are any quick questions. I see our... I saw first these two, Hari Prashad. I have to be careful there. Now Hari Prashad and there's Hari Prashad, but your Prasad. And then I saw Bir Krishna, and then I saw the Matajis. Did I see one Mataji? I saw, yes, you. Yes, so these three questions we will take, and then we go. Yes, Hari Prasad.
Thank you very much. I had a question from today that also connects to something you said last night. So what is the meaning of liberation if one can fall back? I thought liberation means you're free, and that's it. There's no more contact with the illusory energy. And last night, you had shared about Srila Prabhupada having made, in his words, an offense in his previous life and then having to suffer the reaction for that. But we understand Prabhupada was beyond that. So how do we look at that as well?
Thank you very much. I think it was audible for you. The way I understand it, there are different degrees of liberation, and we do find examples of great souls who are practically there. They are tempted, and it's not yet totally burned away. The example which Baladev Vidyabhushana gives, and I think that will shed light on it. A piece of paper can be burned a little bit, or it can be burned and consumed by the fire totally. When it's a little bit burned, it doesn't look any more like white paper. It's all black, and it has a little bit changed the form. It has shrinkled, but it's still there. And this is the first type of liberation, something which many people who are still in this world experience. They still have a body like the paper, but it's a treated body. It's a differently working body. And these souls, they can sometimes fall back. We have the example of Bharat Maharaj, no? Who was... It is sometimes not properly understood. It's one of this example. Bharat Maharaj was not an ordinary person. Maybe when he left his kingdom and went to the forest, already then his renunciation was extraordinary. He was different. The reason why he fell for the deer, it said, is the eyes reminded him of Krishna. The big eyes, you know. It's a beautiful person, a beautiful advanced person, you know. But still there was the body and there was something still there. This is a question which we have discussed when devotees, also gurus in our movement, had a very difficult death. What we usually understand is that they were carrying a little karma still with them, so therefore it had to take it was taken all away with that death thing, that difficult death. We see great souls in the history. Why only Hare Krishna? Of course, through our spectacles, we may not so jubilantly give credit to great souls outside of our tradition, but there are by now many devotees who can actually see and congratulate other spiritual traditions. They are not sectarian and boxed in. And when you look in other traditions, there are great, great souls. They are there. That has to be said. It has to be said. You don't find great souls only in the Hare Krishna movement. I hope I'm not offensive. This was expressed in good humor, but it's North German humor. So, of course, you all know that there are great souls in anywhere. That Prabhupada speaks about them in his books. So yes. So they also go through great sufferings, cancer, everything. No, because some karma which was necessary for them to keep their bodies in this world, so that they could act. If you have no karma, Hari Parashat. If there's no karma with you, Hari Prasad. You cannot stay here. This is the karma stan. There's nothing to hold you in this world. Some little. And it is used, it is Krishna karma. No? Now we are. And it's Krishna karma and so on. Yes, these liberated souls. Oh, there are verses in the Bhagavatam that some think themselves to be liberated, but that's imaginative. That's something else that you are asking. This illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, let's not forget it, but it sometimes also acts on liberated souls as well. No? This means Maya is so strong, Hari Prasad, only when you surrender to Krishna fully are you protected. Because then even your little so-called karma, different karma, Krishna-rized karma, is used for your benefit. Hari Prasad, our conclusion should be, this is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place. Good. There was someone, our Kunya Vihar. No, sorry, Kunya Vihari. Via Krishna. Wir haben ein Mikrofon für dich.
Maharaj, Swayamvara Van Keshav Maharaj told me once that to make genuine spiritual experiences, which can then deeply support our faith in the process, that the ingredients are sincere hope, but without expectations.
Sincere hope without expectations. Yeah.
So the hope part, that's okay.
It's easy to understand.
It's kind of somehow to practice, but without expectation, that's I have no idea how to do this. Whatever I do, I can sense that I have some personal agenda behind it. So if you would have some suggestion how to.
Yeah, it is very true. I think we all have expectations when we do things. We do things in this world because we hope there's a result. I wouldn't drink if I have not expectation that this will quench my thirst, you know. So everything we do in this world is often coming together with an expectations. It is said the love of a mother for the child, where the child is not able to respond to the mother, no? And the mother loves the child anyways. That is closest to this state of not having expectations, but I can imagine the mother will think, oh, later when my child can speak and when my child has some brain or some intelligence or some person, clear signs of personality that they have from the beginning. But, you know, then hopefully my child is kind to me. But yes, selflessness, free from expectations. Perhaps something would help you to stop expecting or to question your expectations. There is a saying, I forgot now who said it, but it's nice. He said, more tears were cried from prayers that were answered than from prayers that went unanswered. Could you understand what the sentence says? Should I say it again?
Yes.
More tears were cried from prayers that were answered than from prayers that went unanswered. I know it's when we are tired. Should I say it again or you are clear? Because people don't know what to pray for. Like here, our Chita Ketu Maharaj, he suffered so much. You know, first he married, 10 million. Whoa, that's but maybe for a king it's not a problem, but he tried and tried and tried and was told, could not hear, and finally he got what he wanted, and then he cried so much, he fainted. So sometimes our expectations are not. What I do when my expectations, and as a preacher, I really have a lot of hopes and expect things. When I see it does not come, then I give up. Then I say, no, okay, this is my plan. There is perhaps a better plan from Krishna. But if we continue, push, we may only increase suffering for everyone concerned. More tears were cried from prayers that were answered than from prayers that were not answered. Let me try to remember from where this is. I heard it from our Keshava Maharaj, who knows all these quotations very well. Who says? You know for sure? Someone says Mother Teresa. It seems for sure, no? It sounds like her. It sounds like her. Good. Now, Konya Bihari, du kannst ja gleich zu mir kommen.
Disciple,
wonderful. Here's our Mataji. Just last question our Mataji will ask.
Hare Krishna. My question is, how can we prevent being clouded by and stuck in emotion when Krishna puts us through these situations that we have to go through? That can sometimes prevent us from actually intellectually understanding why. Because I feel like that can cause further problems that prevent us from actually moving forward.
What's your good name?
Shivani.
Shivani. Have you understood Shivani's question?
No.
How can we avoid being stuck in our emotions when they are so strong and Krishna does something like we have heard in the Bhagavatam, no? Shivani, look for help in such situations. You are in a Mataji body and the emotions are very strong, which is very good in many situations. Matajis can women can feel more for Krishna. Prabhupada makes this statement in the first canto where he says women are feel much more coming to the temples. We see that really. In Russia, when you give a seminar, 99.999% are ladies. I'm exaggerating. It's but majority, maybe 60, 70, 80% perhaps, I do not know. Because you feel drawn. But then sometimes the emotions can become so overwhelming that we lose our, like here, these queens, I mean, they lost their intelligence and they took to what did they do? Lost their intelligence and their heart, you know, and they took to destructive action. When these emotions are so strong, I think you must, best is to go to a devotee, to devotees you have a confidence in and say, please, I don't see the path now very clearly. Can you give me the clear path and get out of this? I remember when I had this, you know, when on top after the surgery, I mean, when I really, I don't know, if you have a surgery and it's so painful and it's so infected and you don't know when will you be healthy, will you ever walk again, you think? And then comes this cancer news. Shivani, I was broken. I was overcome with anxiety and fear, because it's a painful death and are so entangling, then I have to take this and that therapy. I have no mind for these therapies and so on. And I was just afraid. I was a young man at that time. And I went to devotees and they said, okay, sit down now. Sit down, what is the problem? Yes, okay. Cancer can be cured. Here is the way out of it. And they suggested this fasting thing. It didn't come from me, actually. I adopted it and I couldn't see and it was difficult in the beginning, but then I got out. I think when we are so overcome with emotions, we can't see the way out of them, isn't it? We feel trapped, we feel captured, we feel pushed into a corner and there seems no way out. I only can say, that's what I know, go to devotees And of course, I believe very much in prayers, and have a talk with God. You can say, I'm overwhelmed with this emotion. I don't see any clarity. Please help. Please, Krishna, help. Please, I'm so. And do it a little spiritual. Say, please help, so that I can surf again. Hare Krishna. And you know, there's a saying: no emotion is the last emotion. Can you understand? No. It means that emotion which you have now is not the final emotion. Another emotion will come. No emotion is the last emotion. It will come and go, 100%. So when you're overwhelmed, you should understand, better I don't do anything at this moment. Better I don't say anything. I just... I do prayer. I ask the devotee. If I don't have a devotee whom I have confidence in, then it's okay. Then only Krishna. Then after some time it will change. 100%. Good. So we need to finish here. Hare Krishna, Gaura Hari, please come. I just wanted to, actually I say this as a last thought, then it's always said when the last thought is the longest thought.
Yeah. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Very beautiful lectures. We are so happy to have some of those saints who are traveling around the world with hearts full of compassion. Thank you, Maharaj, for being here. Gently waking up. Maybe the wake up might get a little bit more intense later. For now, it doesn't matter. Let's see if the festival goes.
No. I have only sweets.
Just a small word about Golokadam. Golokadam is a temple and a retreat center. You might have heard. So because we are also serving as a retreat center, I take the permission to bring a little homework for today's program. And that will be homework of a deep, I think we could say, soul-searching homework. But we will need actually a lot of reflection to prepare for two of the programs today. The first one will be the Ghost Marana that is coming, where we will also explore different ways to remember the spiritual master in our life. It will be very personal, and we will also share remembrance of Guru Maharaj. So for that, we need also to prepare ourselves a little bit and think maybe of what we can share of value. And then later, at 4:30, we will have the disciple meeting. And there also, we have quite of homework. Maharaj was telling yesterday to really prepare questions and really what we need most in our time on our spiritual life. So this will be the homework for today, like reflecting and thinking a little bit, preparing ourselves for the session. I have a good friend, Ratna Bhushana Bhushana Prabhu. He often say if you want to get most of it of a Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, before the lecture you read the verse one time and you reflect, and then when the lecture comes, you will be much more prepared. So a little bit preparation for today is suggested from the Golokadam Retreat Center. I think that's more or less all for today. Just Guru Smaranam, it's for any disciple, doesn't need to be for Solina Sachinandana's family. If you're initiated from other spiritual master, where you're also most welcome to join. Okay, if some of you will receive initiation on Monday, please approach me after the lecture. I can give you a few small things how to do with the beads and prepare and like this. Good, so, and the last word for Srila Sachinandana Swami.
Actually, Gaura Hari has said it already. When we have the disciple meeting, I really feel that it's good if you come a little bit prepared and think about the things that are in your life. Sometimes it helps to write this down, but if you're not such a pen and paper person, nowadays you are a mobile telephone person, you can also mobile telephone it into the mobile telephone, no problem, but it's good to have something there. Yes, because let us look at it, we don't meet so very often in person. Yes, there's internet, there's online presentations, there are recorded lectures, but it's different when you meet, when we meet in person. And if we have good prepared questions that are alive, not just that we asked a question because we were told that this is a retreat center and we have to go on retreat. No, it should be alive, it should be real for us. I would be very grateful. It's just that which I also wanted to say. Because, you know, then you lecture and everyone looks at you, wow, God, and any question, bliss, or I got enough to think about, I have no question. And then when you're gone, then, oh my God, this question, this email, and so on. So we can do this now. Hare Krishna. I wanted to just ask Shyamananda to just come here after the lecture. There's now prasadam? Yes. Have a wonderful appetite. Hare Krishna. See you. Haribo.
Sri Satyananda Swami Maharaj ki jai.